Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're in the midst of a study of the third chapter of the book of John. We're studying this because we're in an extended study of the life of Jesus, and we're using as a guide in our study Elam's notes that were prepared for the Sunday schools of 1924, and these particular notes on this chapter was prepared for August of 1924. And I want to read to you from the text we are studying, John chapter 3. I'll read verses 1 through 6. And it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to him by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said unto him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'" Now, we're going to take up there with Elam's notes in just a moment. But before we do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, we just read John chapter 3 and verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Here's what E.A. Elam had to say about that. In this verse, and without stopping, Christ informs Nicodemus that he is speaking not of a fleshly, but a spiritual birth. One is born of the flesh in the natural birth, but the spiritual birth has to do not with the physical nature, but with the heart. One spirit, not one's body, is born again. One's physical constitution remains the same, but there is wrought in one's heart, in one's spiritual nature, a change from love of sin to hatred of sin, from love of Satan to love of God, from disobedience to God to loving and delightful obedience to Him. And that is called the new birth. In the next verse, John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born anew. This is necessary from the very nature of the case, and should not have astonished Nicodemus." In verse 8 we read, "The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." In this verse, Jesus further shows that it is not a visible physical birth, but an invisible spiritual one. As the wind blows, and we hear it, and know it exists, although we cannot see or tell whence it comes or whether it goes, so is this birth, or so is every one that is born of the Spirit. It is a reality. It takes place, although not visible, physical affair like the natural birth or the birth of the flesh. It is the spirit of man, not the body, the heart, not the physical structure that is changed. But suppose Christ is explaining here how the Spirit of God operates on the hearts of men. It must be remembered that the comparison is not between the effects of the wind, such as feeling it, and the effects of the Spirit, but between hearing the one and hearing the other. People must hear the Spirit. The word pneuma, here translated wind, is, in the last part of this verse, translated Spirit. And also in every other place where it occurs in the New Testament, in this very place, in the margin of the version we use in these lessons, the American Standard Version of 1901, it is also translated Spirit. Then the verse would read, "The Spirit breatheth where it will," or where it pleases, "and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." The sound of the Spirit makes its voice. One hears the Spirit speak. He speaks through the apostles. They spoke as the Spirit gave him utterance. Acts 2 and verse 4. The Spirit speaks the Word of God. It is the incorruptible seed by which one is begotten again. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. By which one is quickened. Psalm 119 and verse 50. And by which one is brought forth. James 1 and verse 18. The Word of God is the spiritual seed, and by it God begets spiritual children. Through it, the sinner is warmed and aroused, and his heart is warmed and broken, and its secrets are laid bare. Again, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 and Romans 10:17. Faith comes through hearing the Word of God. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, that to love God is to be begotten of Him. To do righteousness is to be begotten of God. 1 John 3:20. All of these are not different births, but the one birth. One hears the gospel, believes it, loves God because God first loved him, and does righteousness, and is thus born of God. So when one hears the voice of the Spirit through inspired men preaching the incorruptible seed, the gospel, and receives that seed into his heart and obeys it, he is born of the Spirit, born of water and of the Spirit, because the Spirit leads him by faith in Jesus to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ unto the remission of sins. Acts 2, 37 and 38. The gospel was preached to Onesimus in the book of Philemon, verse 10, and the Corinthians by Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, 15. So Paul is called their father in the gospel. They were born again. The Corinthians, Acts 18 and verse 8, hearing, believed, and were baptized. All children of God have been born of God, are born again. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, these are God's children. Hence, they've been born of Him. But this birth was through faith, which led to repentance and baptism as Christ. Then where is the mystery about this new birth? We read in John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, that Nicodemus answered and said unto them, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou the teacher of Israel, and understandest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that is descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven." You see, Nicodemus still wondered. And Jesus asked of him if, as a teacher of Israel, he did not know these things. He ought to have known them. Nicodemus and his associates did not receive this testimony of Jesus and his disciples. Earthly things that Jesus spoke of seemed to be the things belonging to the kingdom on earth. But the heavenly things are the things of the everlasting kingdom. God and eternal glory. Heaven is Christ's home. He existed in the beginning. Long before he appeared on earth, he came down from heaven to tell of heavenly things. He who was with God knows to hear him is the only way to be saved. We read in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 11, "But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, Say not in thy heart, Who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame." Jesus is next going to refer to an event that occurred way back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. We read this in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, where it says, "They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way to the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore hath you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And Jehovah sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, because we have spoken against Jehovah and against thee. Pray unto Jehovah that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a standard. And it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he seeth it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and set it upon the standard. And it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived." Now Jesus says in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life." Great numbers of the Israelites were bitten by the fiery serpents in the wilderness, and not a few died. The bite was incurable. If God did not heal them, they must die. He directed Moses to make a serpent of brass and to put it on a pole in the camp, and promised that whosoever, when bitten by a serpent, would look into the serpent of brass, they should live. The look was an act of faith. So Christ was lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should be saved. To believe in him is to trust and to obey him. This faith must be expressed in whatever act of obedience God now requires, as the faith of the Israelites was expressed then in a look. God requires now all who believe in Jesus and have repented of their sins to show their faith in the burial and resurrection of Christ by being baptized. Colossians 2 and verse 12 tells us plainly, "Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead."